Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, back on the air, and as usual, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening with us, wherever you may be. I hope everybody out there is remaining safe. We know we got a lot of storms going across the country, so, hey, try and stay dry. Jamal, say hello to the people.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your day so far.
Hey, Zella, give a shout-out. And a shout-out meaning hello first.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everyone. Always happy to be here with you on a Sunday.
Absolutely. Okay, today we're going to be talking about a number of things. We're going to be talking about the Thanksgiving. Zella's going to be giving us some tips on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up, but we're not going to be doing any tips the week of Thanksgiving, obviously, because that'll be a holiday weekend for us. As well, so we're going to be giving these tips in advance, is what we already talked about. Jamal did Halloween last week. Zell will do the Thanksgiving tips, and then I'll do Christmas a little bit closer to Christmas, okay? Probably sometime in November, only because of the fact that the shopping, and matter of fact, you know, I may do it next week, actually, because we got a lot of online things to have you actually watch out for, and because the state of the economy and what's happening with the supply, with the goods. Things are backed up, and they're encouraging people to do it now. So there's a lot of scams going on now. So we'll take a look at it actually next week. At any rate, so then after that, what we want to do is talk about discrimination in sports. That's a big deal. Some things that came to our attention, the situation with John Gruden from the L.A. Raiders. Excuse me, I should say the L.A. Raiders.
The Las Vegas.
I'm dating myself, the Las Vegas Raiders. I started off with Outlaw, so I went into L.A. Raiders, but with the Las Vegas Raiders, that actually was impacted because of the fact that they were actually conducting an investigation on the Washington football team. So so we're going to be talking about that in general.
Oh, now we call it the Washington football team.
I have to do it to be politically correct. I got a lot of emails about it, so, you know, okay. You turn around, you know, want me to be politically correct with it, Jamal.
Absolutely.
So, at any rate, that's not to say in private I won't call them the Washington Redskins.
No,
so anyway, so we'll be talking about that, and of course we'll be talking about these emails, some interesting things in there as well. But before we get started into all of that, I mean, the show wouldn't be the show without Jamal talking to us about some blast that I know that he didn't figure he got from someplace anyway. So let's look at it that
man,
way.
I told you Monday what my blast was, man.
Well, I'll let you share it with the audience, brother.
I want to say shout out to and rest in peace to Colin Powell. I was a big fan of Colin Powell from a young age. I used to follow him ever since the Gulf War, then on to him being Secretary of State, and I was a big supporter of his. But the blast I want to put out there is to, once again, number 45, who acts like he's 4 or 5 with all of his pettiness. And even in so, a good man like Colin Powell, well, whether you agree with the war and everything else, he did a lot to serve his country. And to have somebody like 45 still disrespect this man and be petty, the 4-time draft dodging guy, to disrespect somebody like General Colin Powell, it just really set me over the edge this week, man. And I don't see how anybody, former service member or current service member, can respect a man like 45 who constantly disrespects the military members, even in death, such as John McCain, Colin Powell, just because they have political differences and disagreements. That's just disgusting to me. So that's who my blast goes to this week.
Well, just for clarification, I have to agree with you on that, Jamal, because I don't agree with those statements that he has made either about John McCain or about Colin Powell. Colin Powell was a trendsetter in so many different respects, so I do agree with that. But let's just clarify when you say about him in the military. Trump did a lot for the military. It's just that with anybody that was on the opposite side from his way of thinking, unfortunately, he lashes out at. And that's one of his failings, in my opinion. So I don't disagree with you. That's why he didn't get reelected. He doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut sometimes with some of this stuff, quite frankly. And even if he did feel that way, he should have kept it to himself, quite frankly, or his inner circle, so to speak. But Colin Powell, they haven't announced his arrangements yet, but I guarantee you he will probably be somebody that will lay in state, at least if they have talked about it. I haven't heard it yet. And he'll probably be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. So I think that's why we haven't heard anything about any funeral arrangements. But, Jamal, like I said, I agree with you. I don't think that those kind of comments are appropriate at all.
Right.
And like I said, that's part of his issue, you know, and I can't say anything more about it. You know, I don't support them when they're wrong.
Right.
You know, so anyway, Zayla, did you want to weigh in on that? Or are you basically feeling the same thing we're feeling?
Oh, no, I'm definitely in agreement with that and just wanted to provide, I guess, some back context that folks might not necessarily know. Not long after it was announced that Colin Powell had died, 45 had submitted, as he does, you know, via his social media page, a statement from the desk of the former president, where he was, you know, pretty much disparaging the legacy of Colin Powell. So that's what Jamal was referencing.
You know, they keep talking about the fact, and we're going to be moving on in a minute here, they keep talking about the fact he's talking about running. I make it clear, I really do not want that man to run again. It's just too exhausting from so many different respects. But we'll just wait and see, because he's going to have to go through a primary, and there's going to be a whole lot of people running against him, I'm sure, again. So we'll see how that works out. But we'll just wait and see. But I agree with you, Jamal, on that. The other shout-out that I want to give is to Alex Baldwin, and I got an email on that as well. But, you know, it's a sad time when somebody accidentally kills somebody.
Right.
And that man is devastated. Now, I don't necessarily agree with some of his political views. I like his movies. But this situation, so a shout-out not only to Alex Baldwin under these circumstances of sympathy to him, but more so to the family and the individual that was killed, the director.
Absolutely.
Of photography, as well as the director of the movie, because he got wounded as well. This is really sad. We'll talk about this a little bit more in detail when we get into these emails, because as you can imagine, the emails are flying in regarding, you know, gun control again and all of that, you know,
right.
From that perspective. So at any rate, sad situation for sure. It is being, well, you know what, let me get into the email first, because I'm getting ready to start talking about some of the Zayla. Mm-hmm. By any remote chance, do you have any shout outs or blasts or anything?
No, Jamal and I had already talked earlier, so we had agreed on the same one.
Yeah.
Oh.
High five, Z.
All right.
So. Well, actually, this is kind of a, man, this, wait a minute, this is kind of groundbreaking. All three of us agreed on something.
Well, I don't, we've agreed on stuff before. Yeah, we've agreed
all
on stuff.
All three of us at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've agreed on other stuff. You know, so yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
But look, wrong is wrong. You don't have to be a party affiliation. Let's keep moving. At any rate, let me read these emails here. Okay, so Jim, you have talked about guns before and have stressed gun safety. I give you that. But look at what happened with Alex Baldwin. Guns are never safe, and we should get as many of them out of circulation as possible. And that's from Jane from Berkeley, California. You know, the irony is, in all honesty, first of all, for those of you that have not followed what happened with this, you know, it was on the set. It's been all over the news. I can't imagine anybody doesn't know about this. But he was given a cold gun. A cold gun is one that's supposed to have been, you know, checked before you hand it to an actor. So when they fire the gun, they know that there's no, you know, live ammunition in it, you know, et cetera. And the irony to this is that Alex Baldwin is anti-gun. Period. He's an anti-gun activist. He's against the NRA. And I'm not going to get into that piece of it. So it's so ironic that he would be involved in something like this. And I really don't think it's his fault. The only thing that I've questioned is that if she was a director of photography and he had the prop gun, how, and it's under a police investigation, but how, what happened? So did he point it at her clowning around? And pull the trigger? Did it accidentally go off? You know, and it was just pointing in her direction. So we'll get some of that. But there's a big issue that's going to come out with this, because that set had actually, with that same gun, even his stunt double and using the gun, it had accidentally misfired on two different occasions. Now, I've never been on a movie set to understand how this fully works, but they had these these prop masters. They had the prop masters and the people that actually are in charge of the safety when there's weapons on the set. And, you know, Jamal and Zeller, how many times have I always told you guys, even, because we've been to the range together, how many times I tell you about guns, Jamal? Somebody hands you a gun. Jamal, you go first and then Zeller.
Right. No, I agree. I just don't know the difference between a prop gun and a real gun. I don't know what the difference...
A prop gun is a real gun. Let's start with that.
Okay.
It's just that the shells, okay, you have live rounds, obviously, and they were practicing with live rounds before, by the way, okay? So you have live rounds, and then you also have blanks.
Right.
All right? You have blanks. Now, you're too young to probably remember when Brandon Lee got killed.
I remember.
Okay. Well, Brandon Lee, the way he got killed was because of the fact that they had shot the gun, and what they had in there, they had these fake bullets, all right?
Right.
And they kind of call them squibs. There was a piece of the squib still left in the chamber, which means that the gun was not cleaned. They then turned around and put a blank in the gun. And when they put blank in the gun, they still put gunpowder in there because they want to see the flash. They want to hear the noise.
Right.
So in Brandon Lee's case, what happened was when they shot it and that piece of the squib was still in there, that was the projectile that killed Brandon Lee, not a real bullet. Okay?
Right.
So that's what happened in that case. In this particular case, they were supposed to clear the gun and they were supposed to put the blanks back in the gun. And that's not what, and apparently that's not what happened. So I'm explaining. So let me let you continue what you're saying.
I heard something similar. I heard a projectile. It wasn't a bullet that killed somebody. It was some type of projectile.
Whatever the case may have been, then they have what they call the bullets aren't real, but it's all projectiles. A projectile.
Right.
So it could have been the squib. What I was just talking about. Okay. But either way.
Right.
Okay. These things are supposed to be checked.
Right.
You know, beforehand, and when it was handed to Alex Baldwin, they told him it was a. You know, that it was a cold gun, which means that it was supposed to be clear.
Well, if he's not a gun advocate, then it sounds like he probably has very little to no education on guns or even how to check and what to look for.
So. I just got a text message coming in now where they're saying, and I'll read this, you know, there was a labor dispute going on. That part I know. Could have been a conspiracy and needs to be checked out. Listen, I'm not going to get into the conspiracy theories yet. They have the police that are checking this from every different angle. Jamal and I, off the air, I think earlier talked about the possibility that the union, you know, the union was unhappy, or maybe it wasn't Jamal.
Yeah,
it was you. Okay, I'm not going to get into the conspiracy theories. I just would be hard pressed to believe that somebody would leave a live round in there. So when somebody shot it, somebody would get killed.
Right.
Now, that's just hard for me to believe. There was a labor dispute going on, but the labor dispute was also, as I understand it, because. They were saying that it's an unsafe set because so much has been going on. So the union walked off and they used non-union people, and the people, you know, were lackadaisical. I also, in my research, found where the guy that was in control of this has been, you know, known to be a little bit careless and stuff too. So I don't know. Jamal, will you finish your point before I turn to Zeller?
No, go ahead.
Zeller, even you know, I've had conversations with you, no gun is ever an empty gun. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. So anytime somebody hands you a gun, it's up to you and your responsibility to check it to confirm that it's indeed empty, because there's things that can happen. Things can get stuck in the chamber. You know, they can have thought that it was empty and it wasn't empty. And it's your responsibility, because if you shoot it, you're ultimately going to be responsible for any consequences that happen outside of that.
Well, they've already released Alex Baldwin. You know, they're not holding him. I mean, I truly believe that it was an accident from his standpoint. Him not being a gun person, to me, was a disadvantage, because if I'm on that set and I'm an actor and I grew up with guns, I would have checked it, personally.
But check it for what? Because it was supposed to be loaded with something for the movie. That's what I'm saying. Like, how would he know what exactly to check for if he's not in the guns? Because it's supposed to be something in there, and it's supposed to be ready to fire for the action scene that they're doing.
Okay, and just to be clear, if it's me, I'm confirming somehow. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not going to just take it and use it. You know, I have to break it down, have them show me it's broken down. That's what I would do.
But you're a gun advocate.
That's my point. Yeah, that's what I said if it was me. I said the disadvantage for Alex Baldwin was not he's not. So he would not think about doing that.
Right.
So it was actually a disadvantage.
Right.
Somebody just texted and said a loaded gun not to have someone shot. But maybe someone would find it and report it or something. I'm not sure that I understand that.
And by the way, it's Alex Baldwin, not Alex. Alex.
What did I say? Alex?
Yeah,
it's Alec. I'm sorry, Alec. Jamal. Yeah. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, no problem.
That's his brother, Alex. It's Alec and it's Alex. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Zayla, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, the only thing I was going to add is that, you know, you would hope that you know, remember how they ended up having the shooting, you know, over here in Minnesota with the young kid that was trying to drive off during the police stop and the officer accidentally shot him with the taser as opposed
taser
to the gun.
Taser versus the gun.
And it's supposed to be clear. Right. And the taser weighs different. It's color different, all that kind of stuff. So my question is like with these blanks that they're supposed to be using on set, are they like clearly distinguishable from a regular, you know,
blanks,
bullet? You know what
okay.
I mean?
Let's talk about blanks for a second. Then blanks, when you shoot a blank has no bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It just has the gunpowder in it. So, you know, for all practical purposes. Okay. But because Jamal said that they said that there was a projectile that came out. So, as I already said, they use fake bullets also. So fake bullets, okay, could be made out of another material. Okay, again, that's something that needs a closer look. But look, at a minimum, you know, Zeller, you know, from a legal standpoint, I look at that and think, okay, somebody was criminally negligent.
Absolutely.
We already know the civil lawsuit is going to be flying. There's just no two ways about that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I don't blame them. If that was my wife, you know, there's no doubt about it. So the lawsuits are going to be flying. And I don't think there's anybody that's going to oppose any type of settlement. They'll never go to court. The real issue here, in my opinion, is was somebody criminally negligent. If this guy handled a cold gun, he's got a responsibility at that point. Alec Baldwin would just be the catalyst, okay, at that point. So the criminal negligence falls to the person that handed it to him and said, it's a cold gun. Go ahead and use it.
Right.
The expectation is that this is done, and you're giving me a cold gun.
Right.
So the intent factor is out the window. At any rate, sad situation, no matter how you cut it. We'll just wait and see how it plays out in terms of the investigation that's going on. But they will get to the bottom of it because that's a murder that took place in their jurisdiction, and they're going to want to know. One of the things that I learned also was the fact that there were no safety meetings, no assurances that the two mishaps that they had would happen again. So that's another reason why these guys walked off of the set, because of the fact that they felt that the set was not safe after these other two mishaps and nothing was being done. Now, Jamal, you brought up a point to me that you said you also heard that they were in dispute about money.
Yeah, their money wasn't getting there on time. Their location, their rest location, the hotel they were staying at, was 50 miles away from where they were shooting the movies, at. So there was a lot of dispute going on. So, you know.
Those are inconveniences, but to me, that's not enough to walk off the job to a certain extent. But, I mean, these guys have done movies before. I'm sure that's not the first time that they've had to.
Hey, man, union people are spoiled, man.
Yeah, well, you know, for all you union people, that came from Jamal, not Jim or Zeller. So just to let you know that. Anyway, let's keep moving. Jim, I'm curious why the Democratic candidate for governor of Virginia needs so much support from President Biden, Stacey Abrams, Kamala Harris, and Barack Obama. Why is this race so important that they have to keep it all over the news? And that's Thomas, and he says he's an independent. Thomas, it's very, these governor races are very, very important, okay, on the political scheme of things. First of all, right now, we've got Republicans are at 27 governors in the country, and the Democrats are at 23. Democrats don't want to lose any more seats. That's for one thing. And for another thing that's going on is that there becomes a shift in the balance of power if you're not careful, because, first of all, Virginia is a blue state. Now, all of a sudden, if you turn around and now the voters end up putting a Republican governor in there, that's a message just being sent to Washington, that there are people out there that are not happy with the current administration, their concern is, you know, they use it as a measuring stick towards the midterm elections. So all of those kind of things end up becoming factors with these governors. And remember, if a senator or a congressperson retires or they all of a sudden they're out of office, that governor gets to pick the interim person. So that could change the balance of the power in Congress or in the Senate or whatever the case may be. So these governor races are very, very important. There's no two ways about it. Let me just clarify also for a second here as well. And that is, I'm going to read something to you. Every gubernatorial election in Virginia is seen as a leading political indicator. How the parties do in Virginia's governor race, the year after a presidential election, it is seen as a harbinger of how the parties will do in the midterm election. So that's kind of what I just said. So basically, they use this as a measuring stick, you know, toward the midterms after there's been a presidential election. So that's why it's a big deal. They don't want a hard message sent that people are unhappy with the current administration. And that's why they're pushing hard for this particular individual, the Democratic candidate, to get elected. So that's why they're going to go all out, so to speak. Gazelle, is there anything that you have that you want to weigh in on this?
No, I just always think it's funny that folks are always concerned in regards to how many people are coming out to support a candidate running. I mean, I remember the same questions coming up in regards to California during the recall. People come and support their candidates. I mean, this year is the year that there's going to be, the restructuring on the state level based on the census information, redistricting. Right. So there's all kinds of reasons why these are important aspects. But, you know, the fact that the president, the vice president and former president are showing up, they go out and support governors all the time. So I don't see this as being a big deal.
It's called being a team player, right? Pretty much.
Well,
that's right. That's right.
I talked to a friend of mine last week, you know, and he took the position as an example with these people calling people on the phone and things like that. You know, why should there be people out there calling people on the phone to come out and tell them to vote? Your responsibility should be that you get out there and vote. You shouldn't need this telephone canvassing, you know, of people to get, you know, to get out and vote. You know, and this particular person is a liberal, by the way. So that's a good point, too. You know, I mean, we should all take the responsibility of, in fact, getting out to vote. I don't care who you vote for. You need to get out. You need to get out and vote. So, you know, and that's really just
about it. Can I jump in on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know we all have people in our lives that don't feel as though anything that happens in Washington, D.C. impacts their lives personally. There's folks that are really focused on the day-to-day, getting through, getting, you know, the next paycheck to be able to put money on their table or food on their table for their kids, you know, money to be able to pay their rent. So people aren't always really focused on and paying attention to what's going on politically, whether it be in their city, in their county, in their state, or on the federal level. And so, you know, I think it's incumbent upon all parties, anybody involved in the political process, to focus on getting folks out to vote. Because we don't have the highest voter turnout of all the democracies that there is in the world. And so, you know, there's clearly people that aren't engaged and involved in the process. And so if canvassing and doing these phone calling, you know, doing things like, you know, what they're trying to pass in with some of this federal election reform stuff, like making Election Day a federal holiday, you know, those are all things that are going towards trying to get more people to vote. By the time the elections come around, I'm telling folks to vote. I don't care who they vote for. I just want them to vote because I want more people to be involved in the process. My belief is the more people that are involved in the process, the better our democracy and the better the representation.
Yeah, well, don't tell me you don't care who they're voting for, Zella, because you want them to vote more toward the liberal side than the Republican side. Don't give me that nonsense. But look, here's the deal.
I don't want you to. I don't want you to disparage me and not have an opportunity to respond. running up to elections, and this is me. Now you don't follow me on social media, so you don't know what I am, and I'm not saying to people. So running up to the election, yes, I'm advocating for a particular position and a particular candidate or a particular policy. But by the time election day comes up, I don't care. I want people to vote. So I know what's in my heart and what I do and say around election day and what I do before then. And I'd rather people be involved in the process and vote, even if they're going to vote against my candidate.
I don't mind people being involved, is what I was getting ready to say. I don't mind people being involved in the process. But when you have these people calling up and say, get out and vote, because you know what they're doing when they get them on the phone. They're not saying to them, hey, get out and vote and take the neutral position that just vote for somebody. We don't care who you vote for. Just get out and vote. That's not what they're doing. They're calling people and saying vote for the candidate that they're calling about. But you end up with uninformed voters, in my opinion. And that's part of the problem. Okay, that people aren't, they're not looking at it like the way that they should. So you call somebody and say, go vote, okay. And now they're a registered Democrat. They don't know all the facts, okay, on what's going on. They don't know what the issues are. But because they're getting the pressure to go out and vote, they just run to the polls. There's a Democratic ticket, we'll say. And they just go down, bam, bam, bam. And it's probably the same thing on the Republican side. So uninformed voters, in my opinion, are always going to be a concern. I think that people need to take the responsibility. Okay, so I'm in agreement with you that people need to get out and vote no matter what side you're on. And let's not say side because we have independents out there also, okay?
Yes, sir.
So all three. But people, when they go out and vote, they need to be informed voters, all right? Because informed voters, that's what we want. We don't want people just going to vote just because they're going to vote or being told go vote, or people knocking on your door telling you, yeah, go vote, you know, and vote for this candidate. And like I said, that's on both sides.
I would argue like 70% of people who vote are really uninformed voters. That's just my, because people already predetermined, hey, I'm registered Democrat. I don't care what the issues are. The other side is wrong. I'm voting for this guy and vice versa on the other side. If you're on a right wing household, most of the time they're like, hey, the liberals are terrible. They're bad for the country. You know all the rhetoric, you know what I mean? So I feel like most of these people aren't uninformed. Because if they was informed, man, we would have never had the last couple presidents we've had.
I just saw an email from a listener that said that, you know, calls come from both sides. But I think I didn't see it in time. But I had already said that, in fact, I believe that it does happen on both sides. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I just think people, especially in a presidential election,
right?
You know, you need to be an informed voter. That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's get to this third one right here real quick. Jim, since your employment law blog has been read in over 55 countries, and in parentheses, yes, I am a fan, I thought I would, you know, raise a discrimination issue in France. The Miss France pageant is being sued by some feminists because of the requirement that the contestants be at least 5'5", unmarried, and child-free. What is your opinion? And that's from Rachel from Queens, New York. Rachel, first of all, the issue that's being brought up right now to me is a good issue, and we're actually going to deal with this more in detail next week about the requirements for some of these different pageants. So this just raised it, but I'll address it right now and then let Jamal and Zayla weigh in on, you know, as well. Now, they're being sued by three contestants. I did some research on it. They're being sued by three, not contestants, by three applicants that got rejected because they didn't meet the criteria of being at least 5'5", and also the fact that they unmarried and child-free. So because of that, now they're part of this lawsuit. Now, I'll ask Jamal and Zayla before I weigh in on this. Come on, guys. The Miss France pageant. Do they have a right to set the guidelines, Jamal?
Man, absolutely. Is there, you know what, as long as it's not like a federal or state law or something like that function, then to me, it's their event. They have the right to pick who they want. If you don't like the rules, then don't be a part of it. Go to a thick girl beauty pageant. I don't care. You know what I mean? Go find another pageant.
What did you say? Go to a what?
Thick girl.
Thick girl pageant.
Thick girl. You know what I mean?
A thick girl
There's
pageant.
Other events that you can go to. I never understood the concept. If you're not wanted there, why do you want to force your way into there? Why do you want to be a part of that group if they don't want you there? Like, move on. You know what I mean? I just think that there are some events, and I'm like that even with, and now I might get in trouble, like Hollywood events, and, well, there's not enough diversity. I don't care. It's their event. Who you want there, who you don't want there, to me, that's up to you. Who you want to give your award to, that's up to you. I don't care. As long as it's not a federal or state event, I don't care.
Zeller? And we're going to deal with this, like I said, more in detail next week. But, Zeller, what's your opinion? The France Miss Pageant, discrimination against people, you know, marital status, child, having a child, and you have to be at least 5'5".
Yeah, personally, I mean, those aren't my beliefs, and those, you know, I don't think that those parameters should dictate whether somebody is, you know, beautiful or not, or should be able to, you know, potentially represent their country in the Miss Universe pageant, which I guess this is in regards to. So I think it's, I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's lame, but it's probably legal. And, you know, they have the ability to make determinations in regards to the standard of beauty in France.
Okay, so I just, want to make sure I understand your logic behind that. Are you saying that there should not be some kind of guidelines in terms of who can apply and who cannot apply? I mean, I'm not
involved with the pageant, so those wouldn't be the standards I would pick if I was running it, but they're running it, so they have the ability to be able to determine what are the standards of beauty that they want the applicants to meet.
Okay, wait a minute. So we're talking about beauty. We're not just talking about beauty, because a lot of these contests aren't just based on beauty. Some of them are based on, you know, personality. You know, we all saw the movie Mr. Geniality.
At the end of the day, it's based on beauty.
Listen, man. Yeah, it is. It's based on. Listen, man. Listen. I don't watch that stuff anyway.
Wait.
And I like my big girls, but at the same time, man, I don't necessarily want to see Lizzo running for, you know, Miss America either. I'm just saying.
Wait a minute, guys. Hold on a second here, because I'm the one that gets these emails. Look, first of all, you know what? We're going to get into actually more detail on this next week, okay? Because I want to look up all of the criteria from around the world and to see exactly what it is that they have in there. You know, so let's look at it all from it, because this brought up an issue, okay? So already we can see where we got some differences of opinion, which is not untypical for our show. So let's just do this. Let's just wait until next week, and then we'll see. We'll get into it a little bit more. See, hold on. I just got another text message here. Let's see what this is. Jamal, you shouldn't be talking about thick people like that. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it says.
Never mind.
No, I was just kidding. But you know what we're going to do, listeners? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a survey. We're going to send a survey out. And it goes out to over 3,000 listeners, I think the numbers are up to, whatever it is that we send out this blast every week. So what we're going to do is send out a survey to ask our listeners how they feel, should there be restrictions or no restrictions. So that would be kind of interesting to get that information back, you know, as well. So we'll hold up on the rest of this conversation, because I can see we could spend the rest of the time on that. Somebody else just sent an email in about thick girls. But anyway,
I love them, man. But that's their event. If that's their standard for their event, that's their event. I'm hosting my event in February. I won't put a limit on
the thick girl contest. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, we're going to move on for right now, guys, because we want to talk about this about discrimination in sports. Look, over the last week, we heard about John Gruden, now formerly of the Las Vegas Raiders, and they were talking about the fact that he had made a lot of racist comments. He also made comments regarding gays and also women. Now, here's what's interesting is that the NFL was not investigating the Las Vegas Raiders. They were actually investigating the New York Giants, Jamal's team. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't the New York Giants, guys. I have to say it because earlier I told you already. The Washington football team has been under investigation by the NFL for 10 months. And they've got 40 former employees that are actually have filed a lawsuit because of harassment, sexual harassment, and things of that nature. In that investigation, that's when, because they were getting all of these emails, so they secured over, let me get the number here real quick, but they secured over, hold on, the amount of documentation that they already had on this thing was like 650,000 pages of things. So those would encompass emails, things of that nature. They've talked to, you know, oh, here we go. So former 40 former ones, 10th month. Oh, yeah. 650,000 documents, and also over 100 people that have been interviewed already in this thing. And basically, in the course of that investigation, it was discovered that John Gruden had made all of these inappropriate comments. So he ends up resigning. So the issue then comes up about, once again, about discrimination in sports. So that's what prompted the issue. So now it's opened up another can of worms. These people are suing for like $10 million, whatever the case may be. Now, Jamal, you have been a Raiders fan to a certain extent. What's your opinion about that, to a certain extent? What's your take on this?
I'm a football fan. I'm not a Raiders fan. But but what happened with John Gruden, I think this is absolutely disgusting. And now it seems like, and I'm sure this thing is bigger than John Gruden, because he's saying like everything is going to come out, which means he's about to start telling on everybody. What's also interesting is this investigation was going on with the Washington football team. But if I'm not mistaken, John Gruden's brother was working there as a head coach a few years ago, wasn't he?
Working where?
He was the head. Wasn't he the head coach for Washington?
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. So who knows what comments he was making back and forth? Because in the course of the investigation,
right,
that's when they came across things that he said.
Right. Well, when you're the leader of a team, you should not be making any kind of comments like this. You're supposed to set the example for your team, for your players, and for your franchise, as a franchise in the face of the company. So the Raiders did the right thing. Well, I know he resigned, but we know he was going to be fired. So I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's out of there. And it sounds like he's not going to get another job, coaching job again anywhere.
Well, he was also a broadcaster for a while, so that's probably out the window anytime soon from that perspective. But, you know, let's just be clear, because I want to make sure everybody understands, we're not pointing fingers at the Raider organization.
Right, absolutely.
Because the Raiders actually, you know what, I'm sorry, let me before I took over without asking Zeller about his opinion about it. Zeller, any comments on that?
No, so, I mean, I think your preliminary question was, is there discrimination in sports? And so, we've run awry in regard to that particular question, as opposed to, you know,
No, I'm coming to that
particular coach, right?
No, I'm coming to that.
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I'm coming to that.
Oh, okay.
I was giving why.
No, but I mean,
the issue came up first.
Him resigning was the right thing to do. If he didn't resign, I would have supported the Raiders firing him.
Okay. Just to be clear, so because I want to make sure again that it's the Raider organization has been one of the teams out there that have actually supported diversity. So just to give you an idea, because I did my research, they had the first Latino quarterback, which is Tom Flores. You guys might remember that. And he also became the second Latino head coach. So the Raider organization believes in diversity. In addition to that, Art Shell for the Raiders became, mm-hmm. you might remember Art Shell, Jamal. He's the first black head coach in the NFL. That's all through the Raiders.
Right.
So the Raider organization has prided themselves on the diversity. So I agree, if he didn't resign under these circumstances, he probably would have been fired. You know, or who knows the conversation that they had with him. You want to be fired or do you want to resign? So, but it brings up the issue again regarding discrimination in sports. So there's several categories. You know, when you turn around and you start looking at this a little bit deeper, There's different categories about discrimination in sports, and one has to do with religion. We don't think about religion. Yeah, the focus is always on race, but there's also situations that have come up with religion as well. I'm going to read this one particular thing to you before we, because the race one is easy, but there was a and I'll read this to you. Religious discrimination in sports can take many forms. Athletes may be harassed by opponents and teammates if they are even chosen for the team at all. Now, they talked about a girls' basketball player in Maryland was forced to miss her team's regional final because she did not produce documented evidence that her, I'm going to spell this word, H-I-J-A-B, hijab was worn for
hijab.
Religion. Hijab was worn, I believe that's for Jewish. If I'm
not mistaken. It's Muslim.
No, is it? Muslim. Oh, it's Muslim. I'm
hijab.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the head covering for the Muslim women.
Right. I'm sorry. It was worn for religious reasons. Though other coaches and officials did not have concerns about their hijab throughout the season. The opposing coach of the final game said it was in violation of the rarely enforced rule. So to me, she may have been an outstanding player, and they were trying to figure out how to get her out. Right. I don't know that for a fact, okay? But so when you look at that and see, that's not something that we normally think about. And that, would, to me, would be religious discrimination. Now, there was a movie that was done as well. You guys remember the Chariots of Fire?
Yeah.
Okay, and Chariots of Fire, Eric Little, it was for the Olympics, and, you know, he was from Scotland, and what happened with that was he did not want to run on Sunday. So that was a big deal, and that's an actual event. So this is not a new issue in terms of that. I thought that was interesting. We're getting some comments here, so let me just see. But I believe that the WFT investigation was for sexual harassment. Yes, it was for sexual harassment, but the NFL should take a harder stance on racism, period, because the league is majority black, basically, is what it's saying. There are a lot of black players in the league. There's no doubt about that. So when you look, but I'm giving a different slant when you start looking at religion, you know, as an example. So gender discrimination in sports is another issue. The FIFA, which is the women's, the one that controls the women's soccer, Women's World Cup final between the United States and Japan became the most watched soccer game in United States history with 25.4 million viewers. And despite this, female athletes still face harassment and discrimination in sports at all levels of play. You guys might remember that they actually had a dispute regarding how much money they get paid versus how much the male athletes in soccer get paid as well.
Right.
So, you know, to me, and they had 25 million viewers.
Right.
I mean, so it's not like they're not pulling in,
right,
you know, the advertisements and things of that nature. Zayla, what do you think about that?
Well, no, I mean, they had a case that went to the United States Supreme Court, if my memory serves me correct, in regards to the gender gap as it relates to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a hard one because, you know, I think there should be equity and parity as it relates to pay. But the sad part in this country is that there is that sexism, for example, is something that permeates our society. There's a reason why, you know, there aren't as many, you know, fans that go to, you know, the WNBA games as opposed to the NBA games. And for companies that are paying money for advertising, that might be where the difference ends up becoming, you know, where they're really making a lot less money because there's less people watching. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is in regards to that. You know,
those are business decisions. Business decisions, because all of these professional sports, come on, they're all driven by what? The advertisement, the money. So, you know, some sports are a little bit more exciting than others. I mean, how many times did they have a female football league? I mean, those things have fallen to the wayside because the attendance is a lot different. I mean, Jamal, you could weigh in on that.
Yeah, you know, I actually heard, because I was on what Zayla was just saying about, like, not as many women go to the game, which is sad because it's actually more women than men in the United States. So there's no reason why women shouldn't be more supportive of, you know, the WNBA. Also, I heard, I don't remember her name, but it was a female basketball player was saying, but the endorsers like Nike and Reebok and all these other companies can get behind these women and put more money into them. There's more than one way to get paid. And it doesn't have to be through your team exactly, but endorsements. And considering how many female athletes are in college, high school, and in youth programs that you could sell these items to, because these girls, these young girls coming up are buying Nikes, they are buying Reeboks, they are buying Puma. So therefore, you can produce enough money to pay these female athletes to be to sponsor them, who's going to sell their equipment to younger girls.
The one thing about being in business is that the money dictates everything else.
True.
The money dictates the salary. The money dictates the office space that you're in and things True. Of that nature. On the face of it, are they not paying them the same because they're women, or are they not paying them the same because the sport doesn't generate as much income as the male sports? And see, that's the part that people don't look at.
Right. I would agree with that, but I would have to disagree with it just because women's sports, at the end of the day, does produce a lot of revenue. Maybe not in terms of like at the professional games, but if you go to like a soccer event, my daughter played soccer, and you see hundreds of girls out there just in this one regional tournament. They're all buying these products from these major companies. So you can make female athletes the face of your company for young women to go out and buy your products.
Jamal, you mentioned about the WNBA. Have you ever been to a WNBA game?
No, that's not my thing.
All right. Well, there's not a lot of people's thing. So the money, like I said, the money's going to dictate it. Zell, let me let Zella weigh in. Zella?
Yeah, no, I mean, I this is a hard one because, Jim, we know that there have been, that there was litigation that went to the United States Supreme Court in regard to gender parity
right.
for sports and college athletics for men and women.
Right.
And the schools have historically said, well, there's not as much of an interest, or people don't want to go to those games. People are going to want to go to the football games and the baseball games and all that kind of stuff. So why should we spend money on sports for women?
I think that
because they have to have the same capacity and the same ability. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Was that Title IX or Title VII? I'm trying to remember which one it was that dictated the sport.
I'm pretty sure it's Title IX.
Right.
But, but that's because, historically, that there have been fewer sports where women were allowed to be able to compete. And so it takes, we may have to circle back to this topic to see how long Title IX has been around, how many years these colleges had the ability to be able to put all of their efforts and energy behind men's male sports. But I think there's a ripple effect in regards to not putting enough money, effort, and energy in regards to sports for girls, not putting enough money in regards to women in colleges, and then that results in there not being as big of markets for people to go to these women professional sports.
Well, track and field. I mean, there are women that made, some serious money off of the track and field that were Olympic stars. And I can't remember. She passed away, but I was trying to remember.
Flo-Jo.
Yeah, Flo-Jo.
Flo-Jo.
I mean, some of them made some serious money, So maybe the sport makes a difference also.
Yeah, but like I said, getting back, you said WNBA. Okay, WNBA is not as big as what about women's college basketball, which is very huge.
But so you can't pay them. And I know there's some issues that are going on right now in that area, actually.
Very true. But Nike endorses these teams. So, therefore, this is what I'm saying, that Nike, you can make, okay, because, there might be, 100, 200 women in the WNBA versus tens of thousands of women in college basketball versus hundreds of thousands in high schools. So, at the end of the day, they are still driving a huge revenue in women's sports.
For the school.
In women's sports overall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for the school, but this is still.
Well, how many professional women's sports are out there? Is basketball? What else?
Yeah.
Well, and soccer.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Basketball and soccer. What else?
So, therefore, they can't get behind them. But that seems like since there's only one sport, then go ahead and endorse these young women.
Again, it's all based upon money, and money is driven by the ads. If the advertisers are not willing to put the money there, they can only pay but so much money. Look, I'm not saying it's fair, okay?
Right.
And I'm not saying I'm taking the opposite side.
Look, I get it.
As well. I'm not doing that, so I'm sitting up here trying to watch the time also here because we only got another couple of minutes here. But the sports is not just that. The sports, it's not that. It's also disability. There's disability discrimination in sports as well. When we think about discrimination, most people just think it's race.
Right.
Okay, you notice we've stayed away from race a little bit because of the fact that, we already know that one, that there's an issue there. From that perspective, and that, time has, gone by. You know what we forgot to do? I just got a text message. We forgot for Zella to give those tips, and we only got a minute left. Well, Thanksgiving is around the corner. It's not until next month. So we'll have Zella do the Thanksgiving tips next week. At any rate, look,
perfect.
We're going to, this is an issue that's come up before because now you have the transgenders that are in female sports, et cetera. That issue has come up as well. And these are always going to be controversial issues, in my opinion, of whether or not discrimination. But anyway, baseball. If you want to argue about baseball, Caucasians have these kids out there pitching and hitting. These guys are 4 years old. So to me, I look at it and say, you see more Caucasians and minorities from other countries playing. But some of these guys, it's amazing when they get interviewed, they only speak Spanish. I mean, I watch them play all the time and don't know that they only speak Spanish, as an example. So it's interesting. Yeah. And anyway, hey, listen, as always, there's some good topics. You know, we had some good times with this, but it's going to be time to sign off. As usual, the time seems like it just goes so fast. So do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. We always appreciate it. Jamal, say goodbye to the people.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, Zaylor.
Happy Sunday, folks. Thanks for joining us.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.